Episode of Create Worldwide, the podcast. I'm Paulina.
And I'm Tom.
And today we are back because we have a very cool topic in mind that we thought you guys might like.
We are back. We are back. We are back. I'm back. I live in the city now. I'm a city boy. Let's go.
That's this week's big news.
Well, after a year and 3 months, I have finally moved into the city because I am tired of commuting over 2 hours plus each day there and back.
I'm sure all of our listeners are also very happy because they're not gonna have to hear us talking about it every single podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So this week we wanted to discuss materials, projects how you go and pick materials for a project, how you obtain those materials, how you know about those materials, whether that's through what we'll get into lunch and learns and, you know, just through previous consultants and all that.
So, like, basically, I feel like we want to talk about how a project actually comes to life. Exactly. After it's like sketched and after you have a concept, and then even sometimes it happens hand in hand as you're doing CDs, but mostly it happens in the conceptual phase when you actually want to take that project and bring it to life with
I
feel like here's where there's a breaking point from school to like when you work in an office, and it's that you're working on something that is material, like that it's a real project that's gonna become a real brick and mortar thing. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be real. So you have to actually think about how you're going to materialize this project and bring it to life. And that's where everything Tom was saying comes in. Like that maybe you did it at school, maybe you didn't, but you have to do it in a lot more technical manner now, like choosing materials, choosing colors, choosing manufacturers, stuff like that. I'm not sure how far, like, for example, Tom, I don't know how far you took these things at school. I know I didn't take them really far, honestly. So I don't know about you.
Well, at school, it was more so a lot of people were conceptual and didn't really focus on the materiality of things. And I'm sure I've said this on previous podcasts where, like, I took pride in, materializing the space and like I would even sometimes use like name brand things in my in my renders and not specifically materials but more so like appliances. Like I would be like, oh, I'm gonna put this Dyson fan in this render. Like that's just that's just like a little thing. But no, it's crazy when you think about materials, you know, there's endless amounts of materials and there's endless amounts of companies that make that material a certain way. And it's all about, you know, what's the best at its price point, what looks the best, how can we make this cost efficient for the
And like I feel like, for example, for me personally at school, I went as far as to add the material to the project from an aesthetic point of view, right? So like I want this to be wood, or I want this to be IFES, or I want this to be, I didn't even say IFES, I just said like, okay, I want this to be like plain white or plain green or whatever. I want this to be brick, but then I never took it further than that. And that's where I feel like at the office it's been so cool and so eye-opening to actually go into this world, which is like a world on its own. So, okay, you want this to be wood. Okay, so how are you going to choose this wood starting there? So you have to choose a manufacturer. You have to choose a company. You have to make sure, for example, if you're going to put it on exteriors, that it's good for exteriors or that it's good for interiors, that it fits with your budget, stuff like that, which is, it's not just saying this is going to be wood, right? Because it's even a lot of times you want, I'm going to go with the wood example, but you want something to be wood. And I've learned here at the office, a lot of companies or a lot of products that look like wood, but are not wood. And that's so interesting because you want to think about durability, you want to think about price. So that's very cool.
I mean, a perfect example of this, you and I were talking right before we started recording, and I was literally like, oh, I'm working on this project. And that one, I'm working on one portion right now, and that one portion has CMU, it has IFIS, it has wood slats, it has metal, like metal siding, it has coping, it has like all of this in one storefront for one tenant. That's right. And I've named four or five things, and it's like, oh my gosh, how is this all going to come together? What brands are we going to, what manufacturers are we going to use? Like what specific one are we going to use? Blah, 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 blah. Is there like standards that this store has that we need to follow? Like, it's like all this different stuff, but it's so interesting because you really have to pick and choose like what you want. And I enjoy it.
I enjoy it too. Like, it's kind of like making your ideas really be viable. Like, you can't just go around suggesting materials that are never going to work. Like, that's not good architecture. Simple as that. Like, everyone can have a good idea, but how are you gonna bring this idea to life and make it? And also, like, that's, I feel like, a reason why we have a lot of like repeat clients. And it's the fact that these people are also coming to you for your expertise on how you are you going to make this building look good and last for like a period of time. And so, like, if you're a client and you come to create and they give you a wonderful design and then you build it and then a year later it looks awful, you're probably not going to come back because that's not what you were looking for, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. It's definitely a big thing that we pride ourselves in at Create is, you know, we don't make everything look, we don't want everything to look the same every single time we do it. So with the certain companies or the certain owners of properties that we've been working for forever, it's not the same thing over and over and over again. It's always, we want to be like as innovative with the new products and if it works the best and how, like, what's the rating on it, blah, 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 and all of that. And it's just constantly, everything is constantly evolving.
Right, so, right.
And so it's important to stay informed on it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. And that, like, that brings me to another topic Tom and I have discussed a lot, which is not in the podcast, but him and I. And it's like the lunch and learns, which is I didn't know what it was. I don't know if it's like a very common thing. I didn't know what it was when I came in to Create.
Yeah.
But it's basically, there's this companies or manufacturers or people that have products. They come into the office during lunch and it's a nice time, a nice space. Because they show their products, we have lunch. It's kind of like a class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only their products, like we learn a lot of stuff about architecture. Most of these courses are like AIA approved. So it's very interesting, and this is an opportunity to learn about a lot of these products that you would like that us as new architects don't really know about, right?
Yeah, and you know, there's been projects where we've specifically asked companies and manufacturers to come in and present these because we look at it online and we're like, ooh, that would look really nice here. That would work really nice here. And I've already seen, you know, three of the however many we've had, you know, this year, which has been a good amount, already start to be put into projects, which is really interesting because they come in and they're like, oh, this is brand new. You know, we just, you know, made this better than our last version that came out 2-3 years ago. And that kind of stuff is like how you keep your stuff to date and like to last.
Yeah. And also, like, for us, because these are new products, it's so interesting. But also for people that have been in the field for a long time, it's easy to fall into a pattern or into a rut. Like, you know a product, you love it, you end up specifying it on all your projects because it's I don't want to say inevitable, but it's hard not to fall into old habits or into like what you're comfortable with. So these classes, these lunch and learns, these people that come into the office to show us products are good for the people that have been in the field for a long time as well, I feel like, because sometimes, like, I've seen it with some of the architects that have been for a longer time at Create, that they're like, oh my god, like, this product is amazing, maybe I can replace this other product that I've been using for a long time and then use this one instead. So I feel like that's very cool.
Yeah. No, and there's an interesting dynamic when, you know, you're growing as a company, and everyone's doing their separate, and someone's doing one project, you're doing another. But it's so interesting, you look back at reference projects that you're given from like project architects here, and you see like 5-6 years ago something that was used, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. You know, this metal, what's it called? I'm trying to think of the word, the like metal siding, like these metal panels were used 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you look at it, you're like, okay, that looks like it's from, like, you know, that looks nice, but it's from however many years ago. And then you look at that same brand now and you're like, wow.
Right.
You're like, that evolved. And it's interesting to have you evolve, like us evolve as a company, and then see them evolve as a company. And you guys, like, just keep going back and forth to each other, because you both want to make your product and your what you're giving out to your clients better.
Absolutely. And it's like, so it's just such a cool process of choosing materials now when you're understanding all of these things, because you understand this, like, the seriousness and the importance of what you're doing. It's not just paint bucketing in Photoshop or adding a texture. It's like, okay, you're adding this texture of CMU here because da 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 da, or because you've thought about the manufacturer, or you've thought about the price point. It's stuff like that. And even now that I mentioned CMU, I remember, like, something I learned very early on, which is, like, sometimes I was adding materials on a Photoshop elevation and I was bringing them all to the ground. And then I remember one of the designers in the office told me, like, hey, sometimes, like, usually on most of our projects, we like to put a stone base or a CMU base or a base, so we don't bring the materials all the way to the ground, because they're going to get damaged, they're going to get ruined, and they're going to have to be replaced constantly. And I was like, oh my god, wow, like, that's absolutely true. And it's just these little things that we didn't really think about in school. Like, you wanted this to be a ceramic wall, whatever, you added the texture and then that's what it was, right? But now,
yeah, most of the time it was like the whole building was like this white or this gray or this, you know, portions of it had this wood trim where you had a column or something, but it wasn't anything that was like overly, oh my god, he knows what he's doing. It's like, oh,
right,
okay,
right.
He's
and it's like
getting an understanding, or she's getting an understanding of it,
right? And it's like and then even when you're working on the actual details, when you're working on the CDs, you start to understand these materials even more. Because, for example, use the metal column when you're walking down the street when we were at school. I'm going to be honest, I didn't really think about what it was a metal column, right?
Yeah.
But now you're like, okay, it's not that it's wrapped in metal, but then... like, you know what I'm saying?
It's just
an example, but
yeah, you look back and you're like, you know, none of these buildings that you did in college had, you know, parapets, or very little of them had parapets. None of them had draining, none of them had coping, none of them had like anything that you would think would go on a commercial building, or even residential if you're doing residential. But regardless, these aren't things necessarily like pushed upon you in architecture school. It's more of like a, let's see if you can come up with ideas. This is very technical stuff. You know, this is something that you have to be, you know, led into and understand by like experiencing it. So all those materials and all that knowledge of materials, you and I coming in here a year and 3 months ago, were like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
We was blind.
You know? Right. And then it's also, so it's like the whole process. So you have like your sketch, you have like your Photoshop render or your 3D render or whatnot. Then you start to see it in the construction document. So all these materials start to make sense. And then for me, my favorite part, it's like, as I've mentioned here before, I'm a material hoarder. Like when you actually have like the material in your hands, it's just so like, it's so interesting because it's not that you didn't know this material existed. Of course, you've seen it around. And if you're paying attention, you'll see the tremendous amount of materials that are out there. But when you actually, like, you can touch it, you can see it, you can imagine it on your building, it's so interesting. So, like, in our office, we have a material library that it's just cool sometimes to go in there and see the samples. And when we order them for projects, it's also interesting to see them. It's just very cool.
It's a cool
process.
Whenever I'm on a phone call, this is a dirty little secret of mine. Whenever I'm on a phone call and I know it's going to be like a five minute phone call, I go into the library and I start like looking at materials while I'm on the phone. I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. Ooh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
This is for personal phone calls. This is not for work phone calls, obviously. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. Even as like you become like more aware of your surroundings, it's happened to me that now when I go out or when I'm walking around or when I'm in someone's house, like when I'm looking at new architecture, I'm always like looking at the materials and I'm like, oh, okay, what is this? I touch it or I knock on it. I try to understand, and that also, I don't know, it just makes your life more rich, I would say. I don't know, like it's just
enriching. I do the same thing. I was at one of the shopping centers near me, and I was with my girlfriend, and I look at this, where a column would be, and I turn to her and I go, this is definitely hollow. And I hit it and you could hear like how it's hollow. I was like, I knew it. It's a column wrap.
Yeah, it's very cool. But also, like, now that you mentioned the column wraps as well, I remember a project I worked on at Create that we had specified like metal wrap for some columns. And then I remember when we were looking over the CDs, Mr. C was like, no, this, like, let's look this over better because I think the wrap is going to get like beaten up, you know, it's going to look awful in a couple of months because since it's thin and it's hollow, people hit it with their car or with their legs or whatever. And then it starts to become like bumped and uneven. So, for example, something like that would be a mistake from an amateur architect. I would say, like, you would specify that and then you'd be like, oh my God, like this wasn't the right call. So that's the kind of stuff you learn where it's like, okay, you say you want it to be metal. Then you have to choose your metal. Then you have to choose how it's going to be applied. Then you have to, it's like so many steps that at the end are like architecture is in the details. It's stuff like that that takes your project from good to amazing to great. So it's very interesting bringing these projects to life with the materials.
The way that I think about architecture is it's like a 7-layer dip. You're like at the surface and then there's just so much more to it. There's just endless layers of how much more deeper you can go into thought and material and how, like, anything architecture related, you know, the heights matter, the depths matter, the widths matter, the color matters. It's everything matters because when you put it in real life and you see it, the last thing you want to do is say, oh, that looks horrible.
Right. Like
the last thing you want.
Yeah. And also when you're smart about your materials, you end up like saving the client's money and you end up being more efficient. Like I also remember that one of the first things I was taught was when we're doing like ground up buildings, it's like try to draw in masonry units because you don't want to like what And for like when I was in school, I didn't know what this meant. So it's like you want to draw using the units of the masonry blocks you're going to build with. So
yeah,
they're 8 inches. You want to do a wall. You want that wall to be able to be divided into eight inches,
yep,
inches portions. Right. Yeah. So that's, for example, something that's being efficient. That's being smart about your,
yeah,
like you, where your project meets your material. You want to be smart about that. Like
yeah, another, just talking about how you're talking about masonry units, another huge, huge part of, you know, materiality and, you know, putting together a building in concept or whatever it may be. Or when you're first, even when you're first starting CDs and you're translating the rendering into a construction drawing, you want to get it to as much as possible to be as close to like a foot, to like 20 feet, 21 feet. 21 feet 6 inches. Like, you never want 23 feet 4 inches and 3/16 of an inch, you know?
Right, like, right, absolutely.
Because someone's going to build this and they're going to look at you and they're going to say, why did you do this?
Right.
You're making my life hard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's like, yeah, translating all these renders,
yeah,
into your CDs require a lot more thought that you wouldn't, that like a lot more thought than you would think, leaving aside the fact that you have to do the CDs, because we've talked about that before, but the actual mm-hmm. translating part where you have to be like, okay, what is this thing made out of, right? So this is, yeah, not just white, or this is not just like metal, it's something more than that. So, and even
got layers.
Yeah, the people that have gone to the office, the companies, the lunch and learns that we mentioned, something that they all agree on, which I found very interesting, is that they're always saying like, hey, like keep like an open communication with your manufacturer from the beginning, because mm-hmm. that can help you like save so much time, be so much more efficient than if you're at the end of your CDs and now you're thinking, okay, who's gonna do this wood paneling or whatever? So it's, yeah, like, then you go to the manufacturer and they're like, oh, well, we only do 4x6 panels. So if you would have done this to be 12 feet, it would have been so much easier. And now it's 18. So you know what I mean? So like,
and the interesting thing with the lunch and learns as well with the manufacturers is that they're also very transparent with the pricing of what they're showing you. You know, they always tell you the price of things, and so you can go back to your desk and you could say to yourself, how is this product better than this other product that we usually use?
Yeah.
And sometimes you come to the conclusion that it's not, and sometimes you come to the conclusion that it, yeah, is, because it's better, but it's also more cost efficient, and in turn you're saving the client money.
Right.
Which is, and it's good.
Most of the time it's just taking the time to do it and being conscious of doing it, because most of them say like, don't, like, just reach out, send us your sketch, even if you don't have it completed, if you don't have it in the like CD phase yet, send us your sketch and tell us, and we'll give you an approximate price range, or we'll tell mm-hmm. you what you can change to make it easier for us and cheaper for you. So that's also something that I've learned, that it's sometimes smart and important to keep all these other parties in the loop, and that is going to end up helping you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you say. I'm agreeing with, yeah, all of it, because it makes crystal clear sense.
Yeah, we talk about this topic, which we both have found like interesting, because it's been something new to us since we came here and we started working like in an architecture firm.
Yeah, and like I said, I was literally just doing stuff relating to that like, what, 45 minutes ago before right. before lunch I was just doing that. So yeah, no, it's an everyday thing where you always want to think about materials, how this thing is going to look, how it's going to be built. I mean, I've said it twice already, but it is literally a 7-layer dip. Everything in architecture has layers, and it's just an endless thought process of how to make your building look the best it can possibly be.
Yeah. And even like, I wish I had been more like aware of this or gotten more into this at school, because all of these materials, what they're doing is bringing your project to, like I've also said it before, but like bringing it to life. It's actually like the difference between a project that has poorly chosen materials or that you didn't really put much thought into them in comparison to one that has all of these things thought out. It's abysmal. So like, I wish I had put in more effort, not effort, but like paid more attention to the materials I chose, or like had more inspiration from materials for my work in school. And yeah, now doing it here, like when I was doing it at Create or doing it at an architecture firm, it's a very, very cool part of the process.
Yeah, I agree. I wish I did it more at school. I touched upon it, definitely didn't dive deep into it. But you know, I dealt with interiors when I was interning over, like during school, and that's where I like started to fall in love with it. And then it translated to my schoolwork, and now I'm here. So I have like, I had a little bit of an understanding, but nowhere near as much as me being here for the year also, plus.
Like, I think, I think it happens a lot in interiors, and it also translates to exteriors. But like the fact that I think, for example, in interiors, sometimes it's a small space that you have very little materials. So they have to be chosen very wisely, so they really translate the idea that you're trying to convey. So like sometimes, even we've also talked about this before, when we're doing pad buildings or smaller projects, maybe they don't have as many materials, but that's precisely why you have to choose them so smartly, because they have to speak for themselves without the noise of a bunch of materials around them.
Yeah. No, everything about materiality, especially in the smaller senses that you're talking about, is crucial, because if you're using four or five materials that are different, better make sure they look nice. But you know, when you have the bigger centers, or you have a bigger shop, you have a bigger shopping center, you have, you know, you have a mall, you have a giant, like the second you go to something big, that's when you're like, oh my God, I could have 40, 50 different materials on this thing, and it look like certain portions of it have different things and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
all these different possibilities.
Like, the trick is that every single thing you choose has to feel intentional. Like,
exactly,
it's not just like a bunch of materials that don't fit with each other, or if it's only one or two materials, they're very intentional and very thought out for that specific context, for that specific placement, etc. So yeah, I think this is a very interesting topic. We could go a lot. I feel like we could talk a lot more about it, because clearly we like it.
I mean, I feel like you and I could literally just make this like a video portion, a podcast, and be like, all right, here's a building, and just like start breaking things down of what we think would work best where and why we're choosing it.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Interactive series with Paulina and Tom.
Oh my God. Anyways, well, we hope you guys liked it and maybe get into this topic as well. I mean, it's a very interesting area of architecture. It really helps your projects come to life, and like on my end, since I've discovered it, I really liked it. So
me too.
I hope you guys like the podcast as well.
I enjoyed the podcast, Paulina. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you back here next week. Remember, if you have any comments, ideas for future episodes, questions, anything at all, you can always reach us at podcast@createworldwide.com.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Bye. Remember to create worldwide.